Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're on with Ed Curry, certified mortgage planner and construction loan specialist at Associated Bank. Ed, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I want to hit in on something that we came across, building materials costs increasing across several regions of the country. And a couple of interesting things are going up. Concrete, and I know you found the paint stores have seen a run on some supplies. Talk to us about what's going on.
Yeah, you know, you've got a wide range of things, if you will, that go into building homes: steel, lumber, concrete, paint, gypsum, all sorts of things. And you know, in the run up to in housing prices over the last couple of years, most of those things, if not all of them, have moved higher. We're starting to finally see a leveling out of broadly that basket of things that build homes, kind of like the leveling off of inflation as a whole. But there's still some things that are moving higher. Concrete paint, I had a builder last week tell me that he couldn't find primer in one particular paint store throughout the Chicagoland area. They were just simply out of it for the week. They were getting more shipments in. So so we're still seeing some strain on some of the building material. Some things, some of the big things like lumber, steel, are finally coming down a little bit. They're still higher than historic averages. You know, I think lumber is maybe still 20%, 30% above historic norms, but certainly a lot lower than the 70 to 100% above historic norms they were at some time in the last few years.
Now, the latest report from the Producer Price Index showed softwood lumber prices up 2.3%, already mixed concrete 2.5% higher. Generally, overall, building materials rose 0.4% in July. Again, not as bad as we've seen it. Talk to us about how that's affecting construction projects and prices.
You know, I think the overall construction has been hit with similar things as the non-construction: higher interest rates, concerns about inflation overall. You know, they're spending. We are, as consumers, are spending a lot on other things other than housing as well. So for people to you know, make decisions to buy that one biggest ticket item that we're going to purchase, you know, is impacting people. But overall, people end up making decisions, life decisions on needs. And if they need more room because of a larger family, or they need a new home because of a relocation, there's still a lot of people trying to figure out the work from home, work from office, you know, struggle, as we see in the news quite often now, getting workers back to the office versus hybrid situations. So, you know, all those things really are coming into play when people are making decisions on purchasing a home.
Am I hearing you say that in some cases where construction plans are in place, the people that are involved in them pretty much have to go forward because they have some sort of life-changing thing that they have to do this for?
Correct. And, you know, there's also, you know, one big statistic out there, the backlog of new construction homes. So, you know, you've seen, I'm sure, the headline numbers of falling home starts and, you know, the negative headlines on new construction builds and the softening demand for new construction homes. There's currently a record high backlog of homes where permits have been approved, where the projects haven't moved forward. So that's somebody that's decided to move forward on building this home. The permits are approved, but the builders have just been so busy and backlogged, they haven't been able to get to start that home yet. So so this softening, I think, is a well-needed reset and pause, frankly. It's going to allow a lot of the builders to catch up. It should allow some of these material prices to come down. So, you know, come maybe the second half or the first half of next year, or certainly next year, we should see the overall cost of new construction come down. There's a lot been said about the home affordability at record lows. You know, the which essentially is the cost of housing relative to people's income is pretty strained right now. So if we can see some improvements on that front, it would be really better for everybody.
July housing starts, the measure of new home construction, down 9.6% month over month, 8.1% from a year ago. I know in previous conversations, Ed, we've talked about when there's a shortage of, let's say, concrete, or if there's a backlog, shipping issue with plywood or something like that, builders generally move on to another part of the construction, or they delay for a couple of weeks. Is that what you're seeing happening in some of these cases?
It is, and also sometimes they'll pivot to different types of projects as well, which single family housing is kind of pausing, if you will, currently. We're starting to see some builders who do both multifamily and single family start to concentrate a little more right now on the multifamily. But a lot of the builders I speak with day to day are still really just trying to catch up to the projects they have currently in place. They tell me in confidence that next year they're not sure how strong the year will be, but they the things that are in front of them today, they're still having a tough time keeping up with.
One of the other areas that you deal with, aside from construction loans, is generally just giving people mortgages and refinances. How have those parts of the business been? I know mortgage rates have been climbing. People, deciding they have to pull the lever now before those rates go even higher?
There are. I mean, refinances are, virtually dead. Certainly dead for better interest rates. So if you didn't refinance in the past couple of years, you're not going to refinance at a 5.5% interest rate, plus or minus, which is where they've been trending here. So the people who are refinancing are people who are looking to maybe pull some cash out, maybe get rid of PMI because the values have gone up so high they can get rid of PMI. So there will always be a small percentage of mortgages that are refinances for reasons other than a better interest rate. But for the most part, it's straight purchases. It's construction, and certainly there's going to be fewer units that get sold moving forward for the next 3, 6, maybe 9 months. But because of such a low inventory, historic low inventory, we could see a fall off in the number of homes sold and see those headlines in the news reports. But the prices probably will continue to be steadily higher. There'll be some areas across the United States, places like Phoenix and Vegas and some of these areas, a lot of the markets in Florida that exploded, up plus 20-30% a year the last couple of years, that might downright decrease. But for the most part, we should see pretty, across the U.S., pretty steady single-digit gains in prices versus the double-digit gains we've seen the past few years.
There's been a lot of talk about recession, whether the U.S. is currently in one. I'm curious about the housing market. What does a recession in the housing market look like, and is any part of the U.S. in one now?
Yeah, I recently read an article that with home sales down 6 months in a row, is a housing recession. So, so we could call it that, and I wouldn't disagree. I would look at it certainly a well-needed pause and reset on. Hopefully, we will see some of the prices. At least stop from going up as much as they were, see some of the overall inflation come down and allow people to have better affordability of the home.
I saw a report of actually the last Case-Shiller home price index, Chicago and I believe maybe New York were the two cities in the 20 city list that home prices were still going up.
Yeah, and I would, and that's probably a good indication of the volatility of those other markets, right? A few of the cities I just mentioned have gone up so much, they are, very suspect to yo-yoing in high and low prices. Las Vegas is a great example of that. You look back between 2006 and 2010, and significant increases and decreases in Las Vegas. So Chicago, New York, while all these other areas have increased drastically, you know, they increase, but you know, maybe half as much as some of these the markets such as, you know, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and the Florida markets. So that's a good sign for us here in Chicago that, you know, we're going to continue to see the market increase. Again, it'll be probably single digits moving forward, but a good for the Chicago market, a really good example on just slow and steady.
All right. Great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, feel free to shoot me an email, ed.currie@associatedbank.com. That's ed.currie@associatedbank.com.
All right, Ed, thank you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Steve.